This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan. Your number is 877-217-5757, and you can reach us by email at talk@talklouisiana.org. And as we move along today, we'll cover more than a few topics, but yesterday was the biggest day, unfortunately, ever for reported cases in the United States of COVID-19, and it was around 160,000 new cases. Almost 2,000 Americans are dying every day in the United States, and this has an impact on the financial markets, as you can imagine, in our communities, in our way of life, and the economy. And with us to talk about this and also the uncertainty in the presidential election, if there is any, only from President Trump and Republican leaders in Congress, otherwise it's a done deal. Joe Biden's going to be the next president of the United States. And that will happen on January 20th. And right now, as the Dow Jones Industrial Average stands, 29,313 as we speak, up 233 points this morning. And it has risen more than 45% during the Trump presidency. Good, but not as good as his predecessor, and certainly not as good as it was under the presidency of William Jefferson Clinton. But nonetheless, Donald Trump has managed to steer the economy, if you're in the market, in a good direction. And with us to talk about it are Andy Anderson and Fred Dent, two seasoned financial analysts who've been with us many times. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757. Let's begin with you, Fred. What do you think about where we are and whether all this uncertainty about COVID and now about the president contesting the election has any impact at all on the market?
Well, they certainly don't help right now. As you mentioned, the election is pretty much decided, so that uncertainty has been put out of the way. I think most eyes are now going to be on the Georgia race and who controls the Senate, because that will at least give a two-year reprieve for Republicans. Blockage if we have gridlock from Biden implementing his plans. But if we get Democratic control of the Senate, then Biden will have a much easier time getting some of those things forward. So those are the things that are going to be affecting both tax policy and potential market returns vis-a-vis the taxes imposed.
For an investor, should he or she root for a divided government, or is it better to have one party in control?
Well, I have a lot of historical numbers in front of me right now. Gridlock has generally been good for the market over time. I also have another, and before I say this, let me mention that I am neither Democrat nor Republican. I've been a registered independent all my life. Some call it a radical centrist. Mm-hmm. But since 1977, the average return on the S&P 500 during the first year of a presidential term has been 19% for Democrats and 12.3% Republicans. Now, that's not an endorsement of one party being over another, but a lot of Republicans have been fretting about market returns, and indeed, that's really not the case of one party being better necessarily over the other.
All right, but it's 19% to 12%. That would be advantage Democrats. And Republicans, by the way, have held the White House 40 of the last 68 years. So it has been largely a Republican domination in Andy Anderson's lifetime in the White House. And Andy Anderson, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim. I tell you what I'm really excited about, Jim, is where we're really starting to see where private enterprise and the government are working together to really solve some major problems. Look how far we have come with electric cars. I think it's really amazing.
Electric cars?
I came in here in 2012 and I said, I'm speculating on the future of electric cars. I was buying Tesla at the time. And I just bought a new Tesla Model Y. And I've got to tell you that the technology is absolutely fantastic.
This is your second Tesla,
My first Tesla was a Model S. I bought it in 2012. I think I had the first Tesla in Baton Rouge. In fact, Baton Rouge Business Report did a story.
But you got rid of it.
Say again?
You got rid of it, though.
I got rid of it because I knew the technology was going to really ramp up, and I wanted to wait. This Model Y that they've just built is their finest car that they've ever built.
Are you still in that stock?
No, I'm not.
You're not?
I'm not in Tesla right now.
But you were for – you've been in and out, but you've been there through a lot of the good times.
We're having an incredible year this year because of Tesla. We did really well with it.
Recently the stock split, right?
Right. The big problem for me right now is what I call the big C. which is competition. The competition is ramping up rapidly. If you look at China, for example, China's got three electric car manufacturers as we speak. In fact, their stocks are going through the roof, and really Tesla's stock is starting to wane a little bit.
All right. Well, and you sold it all.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, your philosophy is different from Fred's, and that's why we like to have the two of you together, is that you have different approaches. And that stock has been just amazingly good for you and for anybody who's been in it the last few years. But some would say, look, if you're going to sell, don't sell it all. You know, keep some of it. But you're an all or nothing kind of guy,
well,
right?
Well, we are what you call focus investors. We focus on just a few ideas. And so we only have so many slots, and we don't want to tie a slot up. Like, for example, with Tesla, we bought it in 2012. Did incredibly well with it up until 2014. We sold in 2014. Stock didn't do anything until 2019. So we would have gone 5 years of not making any return. And if you believe in the time value of money, we're not interested in doing that.
You're impatient. Andy has said
I would say we're smart.
Well, maybe so. But sometimes, of course, patience is a virtue.
Well, we're
sometimes
up over 50%
it's not.
This year, so I'm
well,
not really
you pulled out of Apple too, and it moved up
you know,
another way.
It's now almost a $2 trillion company. Now, look, we found Tesla, and we found Apple as a $35 billion company when we found it in 2003. Mm-hmm. And I came on this show touting Apple, and you had another guest on here that said it was a glamour stock and pretty much poo-pooed it. Look, we did really well with Apple, but it gets to a point where it becomes too apparent. Everybody's in it, you know, and it's just
but it's still going up.
Law of supply and demand.
It's still going up, as is Microsoft. Those are the two most valuable stocks as far as market value in the world. Fred, you have a different approach. You don't believe in pulling in and out on a whim. Why is your approach, in your view, better than Andy's?
Well, Andy mentioned the word slots. We only have a few slots available, and it reminds me of slot machines in a casino with a lot of spinning wheels and a lot of gizmos and gadgets that grab the mind and keep the person sitting there pulling the lever over and over again. But there's another side of that relationship in a casino, and that's called the house. The house is the dealer, the bank, et cetera, and they know that if they just keep the gambler there over a long period of time, that the slots will make them money. They don't know if they're going to make $1 million one day and lose $2 million the next day. But over time, they're going to earn a very good return on their money, and the gambler will probably lose over time. Of course, they can have big wins also, but our clients want to focus on being the house to have wealth creation, wealth protection, and then also wealth transfer so that they can take care of their loved ones.
Well, I think it's important that you guys understand that my clients and I, which I call my partners, we have a very definite understanding that protection of the money is the number one thing. So we're very in tune with how we can protect our principal. We've had a fantastic year this year. Our model portfolio in 1995 was worth about $2 million. Today it's over $30 million.
Well, and because of your approaches, and comes down to what your stomach will allow, Andy, my guess, has had if we were to look year by year, has had the best years between you and Fred, but you've also probably had the worst years because you get out of a zone that some people are comfortable in. You were a speculator, and it works sometimes, and then other times it doesn't work as well. Is that fair?
Well, yes, but I'm just simply saying it's all about speculation. I mean, if you think for a minute that you're going to get something for free, it ain't going to happen.
Well,
Wall Street is a ruthless place.
But yeah. But both of you have said over time, stocks are a better bet than just about anything else.
Pretty much.
And when I say just about, they are a better bet than anything else.
My primary rule that I have is I will never invest in anything that I can't get out of within 24 hours.
Andy says that it's all about speculation. I would differ with that and say that those are things that we can't control. The whole world, everything that happens from day to day with markets and interest rates. But we can control five triggers, like how much we save, how much we spend, the timing of our events, when we retire, et cetera, how much we want to leave behind. Those are the things within our control.
Well, speculation is not gambling. Speculation is trying to see the future. You're trying to say, okay, electric cars are going to be a good speculation. I really think the word speculation gets a bad rap.
877-217-5757. We mentioned the election uncertainty, and that has some effect on the market. But it's almost certain, well over 99% chance that Joe Biden will be the next president. And in Las Vegas and other places that compile odds, the odds are in favor of the Republicans retaining control of the United States Senate. But that's far from a done deal. Those two races in Georgia are extremely competitive, and Georgia has veered to at least a purple state. It may be on its way to becoming the first state in the SEC to be a blue state in a long time. And we'll talk with Andy and Fred another segment. We've got some folks waiting in line to talk with them, and we'll go to the phone lines. Your number is 877-217-5757. You can send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. And right now, market shows the Dow up 242, the NASDAQ ahead 68 points on Friday the 13th. And we'll talk more with Fred Dent, who started his career on Black Monday, October 19, 1987, and Andy Anderson, who's been around even longer, back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 and talk@talklouisiana.org. And Nick Diaz is producing, and we will go to the phone lines in short order. Let's start with David in Atlanta. Hi, David. You're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you. You're on with Andy and Fred. David, good morning.
Out just one of Trump's big lies. President Obama, in his first 3 years in office, in his second term, created more than 8 million jobs. Trump's first 3 years in office, he created just a little over 6 million new jobs. And, you know, when President Clinton raised taxes, we had as much as 8% growth, and the Fed came in, and they were afraid of inflation and raised interest rates. Trump
all right.
Hasn't
well,
had
well, what,
any,
is your
more
question?
Than
what is your question?
Growth.
What is your question, David?
Well, my question is, how big of a lie is it when Trump said he had the greatest economy of all time?
All right, Fred, let's have you bite on that one.
Well, I'm not going to get into all that. I think we need to look forward and say what's important now for the investor. And there's some themes out there. Andy, during the break, mentioned something about China. China is coming back. Their economy is robust, and they're recovering from COVID. But China's also going to be a formidable foe politically with us. They are on the rise, and they are out for a long-term strategy of conquering the Western world, basically.
I think David made a really good point, though. The Federal Reserve is currently doing something that is probably the most important strategy in over 40 years. The fact that they have said that they are not going to worry about inflation is going to really be a catalyst for the stock market.
It may be, but then they're not worried about inflation, so investors should be, because inflation will come back one day, and it's something that is really the most regressive tax out there on the public, because it's rising costs of goods and services that affect all of us.
Well, when we have a more than $3 trillion deficit for this year, at some point that has to have an effect on the economy. Bill Huey writes, what would you do if your financial manager of 10 years told you your portfolio was flat for the first three quarters of 2020? Andy?
Well, this is back to focus investing. You know, most people are in mutual funds. Most people, like, I mean, if you look at a stock like Exxon, I mean, Exxon has been horrible. I mean, it's just been terrible. There's just a lot of bad stocks out there. You've got to be selective. You've got to pay attention. And so focus investing is saying, look, I'm only going to invest in 10 things, and I got to make sure that those 10 things are the right things. You cannot make a mistake. Mm-hmm. So the problem with broad diversification, I think it's kind of a myth. It really doesn't work.
I disagree with that. We've been investing in value stocks and international stocks along with our growth stocks for our clients. And now growth is beginning to ebb a little bit, and value stocks, those unfavored investments out there, are starting to perk up a little bit. And that's beginning to pay off.
Yeah, but you're investing in these dead old companies. I mean, they're just never going to go anywhere. I mean, you're wasting time. You only got so much time on this planet, and I believe that
you've had
just
a good year,
you've got to
Fred?
Get with the
yes.
program.
Yes.
You've got to do your research.
Our clients are not flat for the year, but let's be fair to the question, and that is, we don't know if that investor called the advisor and said, I want to be in cash until this uncertainty is over. So if you were just in cash, you are going to be flat.
But you have an all-or-nothing approach, both of you, on the stocks that are in your portfolio, but if a client says, I want out, you don't fight it, do you?
Well, no, because it's their money. That rarely happens, very rarely, but when they do, we have to send them their money, and the relationship is over then, because the plan is abandoned and we can't add value.
Heart.
What now?
It breaks your heart as a money manager because you really feel like you failed.
Well, yeah.
It's and not a good thing.
I would imagine that is.
I hope people understand that. We really take this stuff seriously.
I agree. Marijuana, writes John in New Roads, won on every ballot. Do you see traditional ag stocks benefiting from the legal marijuana industry? And he mentions John Deere, Tractor Supply, et cetera. Fred?
Amy knows a lot about that.
What Fred, please.
I really don't follow that industry at all. But
Amy just had some good luck.
Andy, you need to answer the question. You're the one on the microphone here, so please answer the question.
Well, there are some good opportunities out there, and Amy knows more about it than I do.
Okay. 877-217-5757. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on with Andy and with Fred. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jim. Yes, sir. I know that Jonas Salk, who invented the polio, discovered the polio vaccine, he donated that to the world. He just released that so that the world could use it and have it for free, and it was really, really incredible. Changed a lot of people's lives. And I noticed Tesla released his patent. So he basically gave the world this incredible technology that he...
All right, that's Elon Musk who...
Can I say something
about
Elon?
Sure,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
He has invented something here recently called an octovalve, which is an amazing technology. Now, when you have a battery pack in an electric car, you notice we're not seeing fires anymore. You don't hear about Teslas catching on fire anymore. Well, they've come up with a cooling and heating system for the battery pack that is incredibly efficient. So keep an eye on Elon Musk and something called octovalve because the applications... Well, I can tell you where I think it's going. It's just speculation on my part. I think if you can run a city bus on a battery pack, you can run a house on a battery
pack.
Right. Everybody wants to get off the grid.
Jabari Robinson, listening in Memphis, writes, it makes sense that divided government would be good for the stock market in the short term. Gridlock blocks transformational change. Transformational change introduces uncertainty, which the market doesn't like. What's good for the market isn't always good for the nation. Fixing big problems requires transformational change. Sometimes that change is good for both. Remember the New Deal. Are there any ideas that your guests would embrace as far as what would be considered transformational, Fred?
Well, I happen to agree with that statement, and this is part of the ebb and flow of history. Sometimes we have gridlock, sometimes we don't. Things take care of themselves. And I go back to the things that we can control as investors and planners and focus on those rather than speculating about what's going to happen with tax policy, et cetera.
All right. Well, Andy, any ideas that would be considered transformational that would be beneficial?
Well, like I was talking earlier, I'm just saying, look how far we have come with batteries and battery packs and automobiles. This is transformational. And it was because the government stepped up and gave subsidies to guys like me to get this thing going.
Okay, another listener asked about these drug stocks, which have been moving all over the place. And every time there's an announcement of a potential vaccine, some of these stocks, of course, surge. Is it a good idea to be in those stocks right now?
Speculation, who knows? It's a big horse race right now. But according to the Capital Group, one of the outcomes likely to happen as a result of a Democratic president and a Republican Senate is that we're going to have drug pricing reforms passed.
And I think another thing, people are ignoring major breakthroughs that are going on right now in cancer treatments and cancer therapies.
Susan in Central. Hi, Susan. You're on with Andy and Fred. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I wanted to ask, what about brand loyalty? Some of us in Baton Rouge have lots of Exxon stock because our fathers, grandfathers, uncles, you know, left it to us. And through the years, we've bought Exxon gas. Is that loyalty, is it time for that loyalty to come to an end?
Andy?
I think you got a problem there. You know, Exxon currently, I feel like the company is very poorly managed right now. They are paying a dividend they should not be paying. Their dividend payout ratio is over 200%. In other words, they earned about $1.69 last year, and they're paying over $3 dividend. And what happens with these dividend-paying stocks is it becomes a trap where management says, okay, if we cut that dividend, we've got a real problem here. Well, go back and study Eastman Kodak. You'll see the same type of scenario.
All right.
So if we could go to Houston and say, let's convert all these refineries to battery plants, do you think they would do it? No, won't
okay.
do it.
Brett, you get the final word.
We've had a lot of Exxon stuck over the years, and when we have an Exxon retiree join us and they have a lot of Exxon, even when it was high, we counsel them to reduce their position because that kind of concentration should not happen.
It's a dead industry.
Reduce it, but not completely get rid of it.
It's in a downtrend.
But well, let's say somebody had 50% of their assets in Exxon and they were looking for, toward retirement, we would want to reduce that down below 10%. And we did that.
Brand loyalty could be brainwashing, too.
Well, well, Andy, always good to get your take. You don't hold back. We love it. We love that. As someone says, how's Exxon doing today? And let me see. It's up 1% to $35.94.
Yeah, so go Exxon. $90 a share in 2014.
Okay. Well, this might be the time to buy.
If they cut that dividend.
This might be the time to buy.
They're selling off assets to pay the dividend.
All right. Well, thank you, Andy Anderson, BF Andy Anderson, and Fred Dent, two seasoned financial analysts, and we'll be calling on you again, and we'll see how it works, the markets do, under President Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. Now this pause for the news.